This morning, I'll talk a little bit about the wisdom from above. And in James, we'll be working in James, the first chapter, if you want to follow along in your scriptures. But I want to give you an example of something that was not so wise. This happened a while ago, back in 2010. If you remember, there was a mine disaster in Chile. And some of these miners were trapped down in that mine like 69 days or something like that. And the whole world was watching. And they were rescued. They were able to get some sort of a parallel tunnel, and they got a capsule down there, and they brought them up, one or two at a time, whatever it was. It was great rejoicing. But one of the portions of that story that shows the tremendous inability of us as human beings to have a lot of wisdom. This fellow was one of the miners who was rescued. He'd been married for 28 years. And what he did was, because there was so much time, there was communication with the miners, they were able to talk to them. What he did was he put both his wife and his mistress's name on the list of those he allowed to be present when they brought the capsule up from the mine that he'd been trapped in for 69 days. Now, there's a brilliant man if I ever heard of one. You know? Jeez. We have such a low level of thought process here. Now, his wife just found out about the mistress during a recent candlelight vigil where she saw a woman uncontrollably crying and calling out the name of her husband. The wife said she's glad her husband's safe, but she won't be there to greet him because his mistress was going to be there. Now, is anyone that stupid? And one of the newscasters, I remember in following this along a while ago, one of the newscasters said that guy would have been safer if he stayed in the mine rather than meet his wife when he came out from the mine. I can actually say that guy had a lack of wisdom, for sure. But I want us to think about God's kind of wisdom. We forget we're born with a broken thinker. This is not what God originally made with Adam and Eve. My mind can't even imagine what that was like. That oneness, that sync, that being in step with God. And yet, because his ultimate justice had to require him, so to speak, to give us a free will, even Adam and Eve, in the midst of that perfection, still listen to foolishness. They actually disobeyed. They knew what God said. He said, don't eat of that tree. You see, God's wisdom was greater than theirs. He didn't give them the whole reason why and all this, because trusting God is extremely important character quality here. He just told them, don't eat of that tree, because he knew they were lower than him, even lower than the angels, even though higher than the animals. He knew that they could not handle the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could only handle the tree of life. So when they disobeyed God, it made no difference if they were deceived or whatever. The point is, God told them something, and his wisdom was why he told them. It wasn't to punish them or to keep something back from them or to demean them. He knew they couldn't handle it. So his wisdom is far above ours. And we do, don't go blaming Adam and Eve, we do exactly the same thing. So don't say that if everything was perfect, I'd make great decisions, because Adam and Eve had it perfect. But when they took that moment and put themselves above what God said, the whole thing fell apart, and it will in every one of our lives. God doesn't give us rules. God gives us directions. He says, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. When I give you directions not to steal, when I give you directions not for drunkenness and carousing, when I give you directions for integrity, when I give you directions for sexual purity, when I give you directions for sobriety, when I give you directions for these things, it's not to give you rules and oppress you. It's to let you know when you decide to do it that way, you are going to have the blessings of heaven come upon you. Amen. Your broken thinker, your broken wanter, and your broken feeler are going to get you in trouble every single time. And we, with these broken thinkers, go, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with them doing. As a matter of fact, I don't even believe there's a God. Oh, hey, hello. Hey, we got the thunder and the lightning. I think he's speaking.
Yes.
He goes, I was just making a comment, God. It was in comparison. I wasn't saying that. And we're without excuse. Because when you realize you're born stupid, and you can't fix stupid, if you haven't noticed, you can go and look in James, the very first chapter, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. And when you look that up, that means big-heartedly, open-handedly, nothing held back, liberally. Wow. And he does this without reproach, meaning without blame, without criticism, without reprimanding or scolding. He doesn't get up there and go, okay, stupid, it's about time you asked me for wisdom. He doesn't do that. He gives it freely and without reproach. And it says, when you ask like that, what does it say? It will be given to him. Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. That's about the only thing that's free in this world, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. But there is such thing as free wisdom and free salvation. These are gifts. Look at that word, gifts of God. And look in James, the first chapter. Scoot down there a little bit, verse 15 to 18. This is, I'm just going to read that just real quickly here. This is wisdom's lookalike. See, God's wisdom is what we said up there. This is wisdom's lookalike. This is the one that we have. In verse 15, then when lust has conceived, what you desire, what you think, what you want, it gives birth to what? Some brilliant idea? Something that God is going to like? Something that's in alignment with the Spirit of God? No, what? When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. What a sequence. God's wisdom brings forth life, and that more abundantly. Your ideas bring forth death. Your wisdom, your assessment of the situation, your evaluation of whether it is evil or not, is not going to work because it is starting out as wrong. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation and no shifting shadow. Whoa. In the exercise of his will, he, our God, brought us forth by the word of what?
Truth.
Truth. Not religious ideation. Not doctrine and dogma of man. Not understanding. It's not what you believe that's important. It's what is true. We've said it so many times. Some people believe with all their heart there is a God. Some people believe with all their heart there isn't a God. And some people believe with all their heart there's many gods. So they all can't be true. Just think of that. They all cannot be true. There is only one of them that is true. So your search is not for religion. Your search is for truth. And God says truth is going to give you relationship with him. It says, I want to read that again and finish out that verse. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we might be, as it were, like he originally did, the first fruits among his creatures. He wants us to recapture what he gave Adam and Eve. And we can't do that with our brokenness. The only way to even start on that is for you to go to him and say, thank you, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Yes, I am broken. Yes, and I can only be fixed by you. Help me, Jesus. Come inside of me and be my motor. Be my mind. Be my will. Be my emotions. And then you have to practice the rest of your life. You have to practice the rest of your life. That when something comes up, is this my nature which is broken, or is this yours? When it does not meet God's measure, and you will not learn this overnight, it's going to take the rest of your life to hear from God, to understand from God. You're going to get some understanding here as you come to church. You're going to get some understanding as you sit and read the scripture yourself. You're going to get some understanding. You might listen to someone on the radio, hear someone conversation in the back line. If your heart's open to truth from God, He's going to bring it in every variation. So don't just go looking to the pastors at some church you go to bring you all the revelation. This is you as an individual going to the real God, having a real relationship through Jesus Christ, and He will take it from there. He is going to use everything that you come in contact with to teach you and to reach you, to bring you up to what His original creation was right there, to be as it were the first fruits of His creation. He wants you to be in communion with Him like He originally made man. Now, right now, I don't have a perfect body, obviously. We joke about going swimming and putting on a burqa, you know? But anyways, whatever. I don't have a perfect body. I don't have perfect health. I don't have a perfect mind, will, or emotions. All of that came under what Adam and Eve did. We're like Adam's crack babies. Their misuse of that with God caused the rest of us to be born debilitated. And people are cursing God for that debilitation, and it wasn't God. It's us. He says, but you don't need to stay debilitated. Come to me and use my wisdom. Now, true wisdom in James, the third chapter, if you switch over a little, verse 17, this is God's wisdom. The wisdom from above is fierce. First, pure. Take a look at most of our decisions that are in a worldly sense. They are not, first of all, pure. His is peaceable. Half of our decisions cause arguments. His is gentle. His wisdom is reasonable. His wisdom is full of mercy. Think of that the next time you got aught against someone. His wisdom is full of good fruits. It's unwavering. And it's without hypocrisy. The wisdom of, do as I say, not as I do. It's out the window with God. And then James goes on and he challenges the believers. Look back up at verse 13 to 16 and he says, who among you is wise in understanding? He's asking them this question. Hey, Bubba, which one is wise in understanding? Then let him show by his what? His good behavior. His deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Meaning about your jealousy and your selfishness. That was a prideful man say. First thing out of his mouth, I ain't proud. We refuse to admit our sin. We refuse to admit that we have a desperately wicked heart. Now, you can't sit on the excuse, oh, Adam, you crack and I'm born disabled. Jesus says, you do not have to stay that way. I will rescue you. I will help you. I will let your mind think differently. I will give you understanding. You will have, and it talks about will, your mind, your will. Your will is what you do. How you control yourself, your discipline. You do not have enough of any of that to do what God says and obey Him. It's only by letting the Spirit come through you that you can do that. If you walk by the Spirit, He says, you cannot walk by the flesh. And He says this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. This arrogance, this lies, all this stuff, that's the earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder and every evil thing. Now, God's wisdom is a treasure. It's worth more than anything else. In the middle of all your conflicts, in the middle of all your troubles and temptations that come into our lives, And we can't afford to just go by our own. We have to look. There are some identifying marks. As we read over there what God said, and it was in James 3:17, I want us to look at them again. If these things are present in that wisdom that you're trying to make your decisions and do your thinking, your feeling, and your wanting, then it's the wisdom of God. But if there's that bitter jealousy, arrogance, chaos, disorder, all of those things, they are signs that this thing is not of God. It's that earthly and natural wisdom. And one of the identifying marks of God, we said it is pure. And you have a little handout for that. It's pure. It's not polluted with the toxins of envy and selfishness. God's above all that. Can you imagine being so whole and complete? I mean, this is a God who doesn't think like we think. We so often attribute to God what we feel, what we want, what we do. And that's, I hear people say that. They're troubled. They go, well, God can't forgive me for this. And I go, yes, he can. You feel that way because you can't forgive someone else. And you think that's the only world we live in. You can't love the unlovable. I'll love you with my natural love until you tick me off, so to speak. God goes way beyond that. You will never train your Adam nature to love like God loves. Because when people offend us, that's it. You're in the box. You're done. You said that 10 times to me. You're a jerk. Marriages are dissolving left and right. Because it's natural wisdom on responding to what's going on. It's natural thinking, natural feeling, natural desiring. Has anyone noticed there's a little chaos going on in our world? Now, we've been very fortunate in this country to not have too much chaos. Last time we had chaos was the Civil War! Well, I don't mean some sort of rebellion here and there or some demonstration or something like that and people breaking windows and being stupid. I'm not talking about that. We've been blessed, but guess what this country did? Threw God out of its schools. It's thrown God out of its medicine. It's thrown God out of its education. It's thrown God out of everything. And the more and more, not everyone, but the more and more that we throw him out, guess what we have thrown out? His wisdom. So we're ending up with the junk and the stupid decisions that we're making right now. And they're surrounding us. But don't give up. If you know the truth, you stay with it and you keep up God's wisdom even if everyone around you is stupid. His wisdom is pure. It doesn't leave us double-minded. His wisdom is peaceable. Not just a peace at any price type thing. That way you give in to carnal wisdom. Right now, there's some principles out there. If you don't go along with it, you're the hater. You're the one who's intolerant. So some people say, okay, in order to keep the peace, that's all right. You do whatever you want to do, we'll accept it. No, God never said that. God said accept the people, but not their behavior. My acceptance of you, my love for you, that unconditional love that comes from God to you, does not mean it's an endorsement of your behavior. And people aren't able to make that separation. What people do sometimes is wrong before God. It is sin. And I'll never say, well, we're in the more modern age now, so I guess it's okay. It wasn't okay back then. It ain't okay now. You got to work that out with God, not with me. But God said, don't move the ancient boundaries. So even your wisdom might say it's okay. It's not a boundary anymore. It still is a boundary. Can you imagine a football game without a boundary on it? Well, the boundary was what each player thought. When they step over it, guy says, oh, it's foul. He goes, no, not to me it isn't. Can you imagine hitting that football and it goes to the left of the uprights and you go, touchdown. They go, no, it isn't. They go, to me it is. How long would that game last on the field?
None.
Not very long. It would be utter chaos. No playbook, no rules, and no foul line. And yet we're asking our young people to live and to play the game of life without any boundaries, without any foul lines, without any playbook.
Yes, we are.
That's why we're having the confusion we're having. Because it's a natural wisdom that is running things and not God's wisdom. It's peaceable because it's rooted in pure motives that longs to draw others into harmony with God. And it's a truth and love based peace. Not this kumbaya junk that's been around since I was a young person. God's wisdom is gentle. It's gracious and patient with others. So if your decisions are not coming up to this measure, you can be almost guaranteed, or you can be guaranteed 100% it's not of God. It is strength under control, which enables us to make allowances for the other guy. Not excuses. But you don't get so riled when they don't do it the right way. Gentleness is reasonable, fair, which helps us to show God's love and His goodwill to others. It's willing to yield. God's wisdom is willing to yield. Not to surrender to evil. Not to give up to evil. But it's willingness to give. It's like you get there's a willingness God wants for you to express yourself. But He wants to be able to correct you within that. It allows our actions to show that we're not trying to get our own way in winning an argument. Ooh. Whoa. But we're entrusting ourselves to God. God, I want your wisdom to reign because it's willing to yield. I need to listen. I need to understand the needs of the other person or where they're coming from. Or there might even be something really good and spiritual coming out of their mouths. God's wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. And this is something we need to be very careful about, because when God talks about wisdom, when we see someone doing something that's not of God, we have to stop being judgmental. We have to stop crushing people and crushing them down from the top. God doesn't do that. He lifts us up from beneath. Yet we are so judgmental, and we have to be careful, because sometimes when we see someone doing a wrong thing and then something bad happens, we go, yeah, they deserve that. Well, honey, guess what? You didn't get what you deserve. And God says, don't rejoice in unrighteousness. Don't rejoice in that darkness. Even your broken thinker will say, they deserve that pain. Wisdom from above seeks to relieve your misery, not keep you in it. God's wisdom is without partiality. It does not teach us to flatter and indulge those who can give us something. Oh, you pray so well. You do this. Oh, you do this. Baloney. That God isn't in that. He already knows we're broken. He's going to encourage us and not flatter us. And it doesn't back down. God's wisdom doesn't back down when other people's problems could cost us some time or some money or some effort. You see, His wisdom, I'm in the middle of doing something, you know? I got a brick project going on. That's pretty important, isn't it? And then someone calls me and they got this massive problem going on because something was wrong with their chicken. You know, I'm going, excuse me. 20 minutes ago, someone just called me and told me that their husband is practically dying, and you're calling me and telling me someone didn't trust you to give him enough chicken. Okay. Natural wisdom would go, click. Idiot. God's wisdom says, give him a moment. The chicken item was only an issue God used to have them get a hold of someone who could maybe, looking to the Lord, bring them back on a spiritual plane. And it happened. And there was repentance. And there was understanding. So the chicken wasn't the issue. But natural wisdom says chicken's the issue. This is stupid. God goes, no. His wisdom does not back down when the problems of others could cost us time, money, or effort. Wow. True wisdom sees all people as those for whom Jesus died. But His wisdom, too, won't have you running all over the planet trying to fix every problem either. So you have to stay in His wisdom. And it's also, lastly, without hypocrisy. Earthly wisdom prompts us to cover up motives so that we won't have our real motives and our real self exposed. God's right up front, because when you're pure like that, you don't have to have anything to hide. God's wisdom helps us to be real and transparent in our love and our respect for others. Bless the Lord. I want that to sink in. There's a difference between our wisdom. And we have to admit it. And if you didn't know it before, don't curse God for the broken brain. That didn't happen because of what God did. That happened because of what man did. But what Jesus did can restore you. Sozo, salvation, means, the actual word means sewing back together, mended back together with God. That's where life comes from and everything in there. Let's finish up. Let us pray. Lord, May I trust what you've said and entrust myself to all that only you can know and do for me. Above all, Father, please help me to see how your wisdom leads me to the infinite, eternal benefits of knowing your Son, Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. God bless you.